Our daughter Isabella walked in this morning, just very quickly sensed joy in the Lord here.
Amen.
I'm very serious about that. It's nice to see. It's nice to hear, and it's nice to fellowship where there is joy in the Lord. And I have sensed that over and over here this morning. I've sensed that now for the over a year that I've had the privilege to work with your pastor. He mentioned my service at VCY America. I am serving there as operations manager. Joined there just over a year ago. Have the opportunity as well to work with Sister Karen, who is a part of this body of believers here. And someone was asking me, do you preach on the radio? I said, no, that's your pastor's job. I help him a little bit to preach on the radio. I'm behind the sounds pressing the buttons when he's doing all that wonderful preaching of God's Word. And it has truly been my favorite thing working with your pastor and some of the other pastors here in our that VCY area, if you will, which is continuing to grow. And I've been familiar with the VCY America ministry for probably going on almost a decade, as I was familiar with the VCY station in Fort Scott, Kansas. Kansas being where my wife and I hail from. And we were pastoring just over the Kansas-Missouri line in a little town called Liberal, Missouri. I am serious. Liberal, Missouri. It's a very interesting story. It's probably not worth your time to go look up, but there is quite a story behind a town that was founded on liberalism and a godless town. And let me tell you, that spirit was still working mightily there. But praise God that over 100 years ago that the word got out, because it was published finally. Finally, a town where you can live without any concern of preachers or churches. You can just come and live here with no influence of anything like that. And praise God that there were some missionaries that heard about this. And what did they do? But they moved to the outer perimeter of Liberal, Missouri, and there are several churches now. One of those, which I had the blessing to serve as pastor for a little over 7 years, where the gospel is still being preached to this very day. Many people who love the Lord, just like you, where there is joy and love and neighbors helping neighbors. I think one reason, I believe one reason that God brought my wife and my family and I to Wisconsin was to get just a bigger view of His church. I had a pretty small view of things, because being from a small town where there are now more kids in my oldest son's high school than there were in the entire town. Okay, we are residing in Grafton, Wisconsin. Almost said Missouri. In Grafton, and we've again been here just over a year, and we are we also attend at Heritage Baptist right there at the Grafton Cedarburg line. And so they send their greetings as well, and we're just happy to be with you here. And that's enough about me, okay? My story is pretty short, but it is a story that I love to tell. I love to tell the story of Jesus Christ. I love to share what He has done and is doing and is yet to do in my life. And I know that you feel the same way. It's a glorious, glorious thing to tell the story, to share the story. And when I was praying about what I would bring to Oak Creek, First Baptist Church of Oak Creek, where I know your pastor, and I know how he heralds the mighty Word of God, and how he preaches and holds it above everything else, amen? But what could I possibly share, Lord, with a body of believers who loves your Word so much and knows your Word so much? And I was reminded, we love to tell the story. We love to hear the story. We love to hear the truth over and over again, right? And as we were praying about what we would share, I truly believe the Lord had just reminded me of some word in Ephesians chapter 5. And if you would turn there with us this morning, we're going to spend just a little bit of time there in Ephesians chapter 5. And while you're turning there, your pastor gave me a cool bottle of water. He said, "Brother, we do not like dry Baptist preachers here." So, take your word on it here, Pastor. And I appreciate that very much. Love the book of Ephesians and the teaching there. And this, of course, is one of the prison epistles. We know about Paul's writings, and we know that from this book, the great conflict that was growing even amongst believers. We know the conflict between the Jewish believers there and then also these new Gentile believers. That'd be us, right? That'd be us Gentiles that were hearing this message and were putting their faith and their trust into this risen Lord Jesus Christ. What a glorious time of year it is for us when we the church stop for just a little while and focus. Not that we ever forget. Your pastor just mentioned it, and he was exactly right that we celebrate the resurrection every Sunday. For if there were no resurrection, then our faith is what? It would be in vain. So we do remember that with each new day, and we celebrate that together with every Sunday. But I think of springtime and the resurrection that comes with that, the new life. Let me tell you, it has been 70 degrees this past week where I'm from already. This Wisconsin winter is quite an adjustment. Talk about rough sledding, Pastor. But it's beautiful too. I see the snow and I'm reminded, though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What a glorious reminder with each new fallen snow. I'm careful not to complain, Lord. Thank you for the reminder, the beauty we see even in the dead of winter. And thank you, Lord, for springtime and for resurrection and for new life. Do you have new life today? That's why we've gathered here. Let's read for just a little while together in this wonderful word here. Chapter 5, verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain or empty words," that's empty, vain, "for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time." I want to repeat that one again. Say that one with me. "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Father, oh, how we thank you for this day and for this time that you've brought us together. And Lord, we have met and we've lifted up our voices in song and in praise today. And Lord, now as we've opened your word, may you open our hearts, open our understanding, fill us with your spirit, O God, and these words, Lord, that are so comforting, encouraging. And Lord, may we be edified from this truth, just from these few verses that we have time to share here today. And Lord, may Dalton Windsor sit down and precious Jesus, Holy Spirit, work in the hearts and the lives of your people. As Lord, your word goes forth around this world and our part of it here today in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, for we ask it in your precious name. The church says, amen. Amen. You know, you've studied in Ephesians and you understood there was that conflict, right? That conflict between the Jewish believers and then those Gentile believers, and there just wasn't unity. They all had their own expectations, right, of what the other should be doing or whatever the case was. Paul is writing to all of them. God speaking to each and every one from every side, whatever side of the aisle they were on, and was encouraging unity, that they would all be one in Christ. And there should be that harmony, there should be that fellowship, much like we have felt here, like we have felt here today. And as God is continuing to show me things and teach me things, I will forever be, and I believe you will as well, I believe you would agree with this, I will forever be a student of His Word, always desiring to be at His feet and learning what He has for me. Praise God for being born again and desiring the truth of God's Word. Do I understand every bit of it? I'm learning. I'm growing. Going forward in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's alive today. We serve a risen Savior. And what a glorious, glorious message that we dare keep inside the four walls of any meeting. And praise God that you guys believe God's Word enough that you're on the radio to tell as many as you can. Or maybe you're out on the sidewalk to tell as many as you can. Or maybe you're even on your social media to tell as many as you can. Whatever that might look like. We use it for God's glory, then to God be the glory. There's ministry there. I know the pastor mentioned coming up next week, Palm Sunday, and then, of course, Resurrection Sunday. Can I just be honest with you a moment? I cannot believe it's middle of March. I can't believe, can you believe it? I mean, it just seems like a couple nights ago that, you know, we were saying a New Year's prayer. We don't make resolutions. We failed at those horribly. I know that none of you probably ever make a resolution, if you will, but we say our prayers and say, Lord, this year will be whatever you would have it to be for us, as for me and my house. Even in 2018, with God's grace, we're going to serve the Lord. So a new year is here, and look at us, halfway, 3.5 months in. Hello? Can you believe this? How quickly it's going? You know something I found that folks here in southeast Wisconsin have in common with those in southeast Kansas? You're busy. Is anybody here busy? Nobody's busy, Pastor. No one even raised a hand. But you know, I talk to people all the time. Hey, how you doing? Oh, I've been so... You've never said that, have you? Oh my, your pastor's busy. It's a good busy. Many of you, you're so busy, and I heard your plans coming up. You think busy. Get ready when Vacation Bible School comes. That is busy. But what a good busy brother. What a good busy sister to be about his work. There's a good busy. And then there's some bad busy. And boy, and my wife and I in our life, and now over 20 years of marriage, praise the Lord. So thankful for her. By the way, I didn't want to embarrass her, but I will now. She's having a birthday this week too. 29 again, so we can't play that card anymore. We surely can't. But have you heard that? You've asked someone before and they say, yeah, we're busy. I'm so busy. And it's become a sort of a condition in our culture today. As busy as life is, it appears that many are busy just being busy. We no longer stop to smell the roses anymore. Of course, they're not out yet here, but they'll be soon. We're too busy. And if we are not careful, all of this busyness, church, all of this busyness is going to lead us into dizziness. Even as followers of Christ Jesus, if we do not keep our eyes on Him, it's going to be harder and harder to find ourselves redeeming the time. God help us. I don't watch a lot of TV anymore, but if I see Andy Griffith on there sometimes, I like to watch a show of that. I like to go to Mayberry sometimes. That's in North Carolina. And again, that's a show that's been on for a long, long time. Simple folks going to church, helping their neighbor, you know, Barney Fife arresting you. They had an episode one time, and I believe it was called Man in a Hurry. And the preacher had a guest evangelist in, and the man had came up and given a message on why, what's your hurry, and was encouraging people to find a place to not be so busy, more or less. And long story short, because time won't allow it today, long story short, the plan was that they were going to begin to relaxing like they did in the old day. They were going to have a band concert, and they were going to have their uniforms on and all this. Well, they got to thinking how much work it was going to be, and they spent all Sunday afternoon trying to fix their old uniforms and practice their music, and by the time it was to all this relaxing they were going to do and have a pleasant... some of you have seen this. You're shaking your head. Some of you have seen this. By the time it was all done, that they were so tired from all of their work preparing to rest that they couldn't get it do anything. They couldn't get anything done. And they had no idea how busy they would have to be to get the rest they thought they were going to get for themselves. The Bible gives us so much wisdom and instruction on how to handle time, redeeming time, but to do it in the right way. I want all God has for me to manage my time better. I can do a better job. I don't honestly know where the last 3 months has went. Just so quick. Wow. But that first verse with me at chapter 5, verse 1. Read that with me again. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. If we, church, if we are going to be busy about anything, it must be, as you well know, in the following of our Lord Jesus. And it's interesting that first verse starts with a letter B, which is also in a word called busy. And I'm going to look at that word and say that the first thing I want to do in being busy the right way is that I would be a follower of God. That I would be ye therefore a follower of God as dear children, verse 2, walking in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. You know, you can follow religion, but there's no salvation there. But we can follow Jesus, there's salvation there. Praise God. God, help me understand a good busy by be therefore a follower of God. And then just to jump ahead and reread another verse that we've already read this morning. Verse 17 says, wherefore, actually I'll look at 15 again. See then that you walk circumspectly. That means carefully. That you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Understanding what His will is. Understanding. That word begins with a U. I'm spelling out a word called busy. I want to be a follower of God, and I want to have some understanding as I do it. I need His understanding to be busy in His way. Just breaking out some words here helps me remember some things. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Oh Lord, help me to focus. Not so much on the things of this world, oh no, Lord. But help me to honor You in everything I do. In the way that I dress. In the way that I talk. In the things and the places where I walk. Lord, help me to stop making excuses, but to understand what the will of the Lord is for my life, because I want to be busy for the King. Busy can be a good thing. And then long about verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's an S in that word busy. I want to be a follower of God. I want to have His understanding. Lord, that I would be, look at this, speaking to myself. To yourselves in psalms and hymns, being filled with the Spirit. There's a good S to help me define and understand all this busy that I have. Being filled with the Spirit. My generation has been taught you work hard, but you play harder. And sadly, we just read the verse. It says, be not drunk with wine, but very sadly, My, we live in an age of booze it up. Eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. The advertising on highway signs and the television and sporting events, it portrays that if you really want the best in life, you've got to have this bottle or you've got to drink this. But we know better because God has helped us to redeem that time. To know there's something better, to be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with His Spirit. You know what? We shouldn't teach our children. Now hear me carefully. We shouldn't teach our children to not drink and drive. We should teach them not to drink at all. But help them to learn to be filled with the Spirit. His Spirit. And to have a heart singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Those psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart like you've done so well. You know, we've almost spelled out this word busy. Verse 21, back up verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves. This is going to really make it personal because this is talking to you and it is talking to me, that we would submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's a good busy church. That's a good busy, submitting yourselves as you have done today, this morning, as you will do again later this afternoon at a meeting I heard about, and as you'll do it again tonight in a midweek meeting, and as you get together with God's people on a consistent basis with the Spirit of God and the spoken word, the spoken, written, living word of God. So thankful that God has revealed, not just revealed how important the church is, but also made me be a member in it. Someone not worthy of it, but to be a part of something that Jesus is still building, His church, that the gates of hell will not prevail against. Hallelujah! Praise the mighty God. Yes. A group of people just like you at First Baptist Oak Creek, who love the Lord, and you show it by the way you live, you walk in harmony with others as God's people, submitting yourselves. And earlier in this book of Ephesians, in chapter 4, very familiar passage of Scripture, Paul said this in verse, if you want to turn there, chapter 4, some very familiar verses of Scripture. Just the first few. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I'm pleading with you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See, if I'm busy about 100 other things and I'm not busy God's way, my attitude is going to be wrong. My attitude is just not going to be good. It's going to be bad. And there's not unity in bad attitudes. God's taken me to the woodshed in my life, and I deserved every moment there. I don't know why, but He loves me. And He loves you. God loves you. He so loved you and me that He gave. You know what He gave. He gave His Son. Lord, my attitude, Lord, don't let my attitude get in the way. Help me be busy about the right things. Redeeming the time. Redeeming that time. Today we have submitted ourselves to God, and we've done it in this one meeting, that God would be glorified, right? That we might be edified, that our faith might grow. How does faith come? By hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Our faith grows as we hear God's Word. We hear it proclaimed. In the fear of God. Fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Now, as I prepare to close, I just want to apply this to my life and encourage you to be busier than ever before for the things of God. You've heard the saying, being busy as a bee. Those beavers are busy too, but They can do all kinds of damage. We, you know, a bee, we get sweet things from a bee, brother. We want to be as busy as a bee for the Lord, but in Proverbs chapter 6, we hear of another pretty busy little creature. Proverbs chapter 6 says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. She has no guide, overseer, or ruler, but provides her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest." You know what? It is very safe to say that when we see one of those little bitty ants, he or she, whoever it is busy. I would encourage you, church, and encourage, this word encourages me to be as busy as an ant for the things of the Lord while we have time. Paul said it this way, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You know there's an ant in that scripture right there? Always abounding. There's an A. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. The work of the Lord. A-N-T. Little bitty thing. Teaching a mighty example of how busy we ought to be. Not busy because it's going to get us to heaven quicker. We're already going there. In Christ for what the work He did. But busy about what He has commissioned us to do. And may He help us. Because without His help, we can't do anything. We can't do anything. His help has brought Oak Creek First Baptist this far along. And He's not finished with it yet. There's more work to do. And Pastor, as I turn things back over to you today, it is my prayer that we as the followers, the partakers of Jesus Christ, would find ourselves busier in the things of the Lord than ever before. For the time is short and night is coming when no man can work. God bless you.